Speaking of education, Michigan education stakeholders met with state officials this week. Those meetings included State School Superintendent Michael Flanagan. Discussions included toughening the oversight of the state's charter schools. On Monday, Flanagan met with charter school authorizers. He explained his previous warning to stop authorizations by bodies that demonstrate poor oversight. On Wednesday, Flanagan continued discussions with a diverse group of education stakeholders. To learn more about what happened at that Wednesday meeting, we welcome an attendee. Dan Quisenberry is president of the Michigan Association of Public School Academies. Welcome to Current State, Dan.
It's great to be here, Mark, and thanks for the music. That's
certainly
great.
That was all for you.
Thank you, sir.
We didn't tell you that, but that was all for you. This is interesting. Monday's meeting with Superintendent Flanagan was with authorizers of charter schools.
Yes.
These are bodies at Michigan universities and intermediate school districts with particular responsibilities in the charter school world. Let's focus on Wednesday's meeting, though. Besides yourself, who exactly attended Wednesday's meeting?
There was approximately 50 different individuals, mostly executives or representatives from the states. Varying associations or the sectors of the education community. So the unions, the school administrators, school boards association, some researchers, and different groups that speak on behalf of education policy.
I wanted to clarify that because I thought I had read reports that it would be with charter school supporters, which you clearly are, but I bring this up because of that report. I'm learning it was really a much more diverse group, not all of whom would necessarily be considered charter school supporters.
Correct.
Out of the
50, I was in the small minority.
Okay. Small minority.
Yes.
What was Superintendent Flanagan's main message at your meeting?
Well, I think it's the same meeting that was held on Monday, which is he knows he has authority. He's had conversations about this. His job is to keep all of our public schools focused on student performance, make sure their business practices are sound and driven towards academic performance. And this is a particular focus on his authority over authorizers and how would he go about evaluating a circumstance when he needs to exercise that if an authorizer is perceived to be not doing their job. So should he look at academics? Should he look at their contracts, at their portfolio? He's getting input for that decision or that kind of decision.
Okay, very interesting. And you broke into small groups, I'm told. What was that about?
A good way to get input for the department staff and for the superintendent. So topics were thrown out. How would we go about looking at academics? How would we go about looking at the contracts? How might we go about looking at a process they've constructed on assurance and verification? Just allow the 50 different people to have some individual voice. So there are about 5 different groups. There's moments of dialogue and discussion. Then we'd report out to each other. It was a good facilitated process to get input for the department.
On Tuesday, we had on this program Brad Weaver, who's with the Engler Center for Charter Schools at Central Michigan University, one of the state's biggest authorizers of charter schools. And we spent some time talking about the contracts that are written between the management companies of charter schools and the boards that are charged with overseeing them. Did contracts come up at your meeting or not?
The focus here was largely on the superintendent's role, and his role is specifically between the department and authorizers. A charter is a contract, so there's confusion. Sometimes in the meeting on Wednesday, there was as much informative discussion as there was feedback, meaning legitimately people were asking questions. Okay, mm-hmm. Tell me about this contract and the checklist that the department goes through. Let's understand it before we start to provide feedback. So it was a focus on the charter itself as opposed to underlying contracts.
Did you and the other charter supporters at Wednesday's meeting, did you raise any particular points?
There was two kind of things generally. One, it was gratifying in a way that there was people left the meeting, I think, more enlightened about the kinds of and the sophistication level of oversight and details that are reviewed on a regular basis. That was kind of pleasing in a way. The other is just the challenge of digging into this, meaning what part of the subjective things that go on an authorizer's capacity. When is it enough? When is it good? When is it bad? How do you make those decisions? Those kinds of conversations were there. So good conversation.
Dan Quisenberry is our guest on Current State. Dan heads the Michigan Association of Public School Academies. What do you make of Superintendent Flanagan's willingness to stop additional authorizations of those bodies with poor oversight? He's made it clear he wants to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I've had the pleasure of working with Superintendent Flanagan throughout his tenure, and he's always made it clear, always. This school, of any school, wasn't good enough for his grandkid to attend, wasn't good enough for his daughter to teach at, then nobody should be going to it. So he's looking here, and certainly he's serious about that. But it's also a preliminary thing. You know, there's a lot of discussion about it, so he's preparing. Should a circumstance arise, I don't think he has one that's pending necessarily. How will he make that decision? And he wants input from people before he would have to make that kind of decision so that, frankly, we could be very supportive because there's a willingness in the charter sector particularly of saying he should exercise that authority if under some particular circumstance an authorizer was not doing their job. We would want him to act.
You're a guy who's in a position to know, and I've got to ask you, how big an issue is poor oversight by authorizers of Michigan's charter school?
It's both a very important discussion, but in terms of, Dan, do you think there's problems there? Michigan's held up around the country is really an example of how to go about good authorizing. So again, we don't think there's a pending problem looming. He may find something in this process of discovering how he would evaluate that, but we've got a number of authorizers. You mentioned the universities, but intermediate school districts, community colleges, the fastest growing part of that are actually local school districts. And it may be more of a situation of a local school district not knowing what they're doing, and he may need to step in and say, hey, you know what? You've been making some mistakes. This isn't good for education. I'm going to correct it. That wouldn't surprise me if it happened.
The Detroit Free Press series on charters back in June reported a series of pretty serious problems involving some Michigan charter schools. I'd like to ask you about several of the points that they raised, and you have responded publicly already, but I feel like we need to revisit this. One of the biggest points they made was that $1 billion in Michigan taxpayer money goes to charters, and much of it, they reported, is not accounted for. How much oversight, how big a problem is that?
Well, that was an extreme exaggeration. $1 billion is the approximate amount of money. Every dollar that goes to a charter public school in the state of Michigan, there is no way, Mark, that every single dollar is being misspent or isn't being monitored in some way. In fact, it's probably more closely monitored than other dollars that are spent in public education.
Where did they get that figure, though?
You need to ask. Well, again, it's 130,000 students times the approximate $7,000, and they're coming up with.
You don't quarrel with the fact that $1 billion.
It's $1 billion. Okay, but it's basically saying every penny that goes to every charter school in the state is being mismanaged and not overseen. That's not correct.
Would you hazard a guess as to what percentage of that $1 billion is questionably overseen?
All of it's overseen. If it's a question of something that's misspent, it's going to be a very small percentage of it. And the examples they actually cited in the series, 42 articles over 8 days, after 20 months of investigation, they found about a handful of examples, all of which actually showed that the checks and balances in the system worked, because in every single one of those cases, an authorizer had discovered it, intervened, and if necessary, convicted bad actors.
Another assertion by the Free Press series, a number of chronically low-performing charter schools stay in business for years, and it just perpetuates.
Another myth. If you pull up the performance measures by their own standards, there's 20 schools on that list. 19 are traditional public schools. One was a charter public school, and the authorizer in that case, Detroit Public Schools, was all over them, monitoring what they were doing and taking action. So we don't know where they came up with that conclusion.
Do you concede anything? I mean, they covered an awful lot of territory. This was a sprawling series. As you said, it took 2 years for Jennifer Dixon to oversee this and write this and research this. What did they get right? Are you willing to concede they got something right here?
Boy, the conclusions were wrong. They missed facts. They missed they omitted things that they had and we'd actually discussed in great detail. So I'm not sure, Mark. We have the privilege of working with media all over the state and to work with Jennifer Dixon, the Free Press, over that 20 months, spent hours. They talked to experts. They talked to schools. We gave them audits and records and made everything public, and some of it they just chose not to look at. I don't know why they came up with the conclusions they did. It doesn't add up.
How common is it that boards are not as transparent as they should be, do you think?
They're all public institutions, and there's a lot of information there. And it's, again, kind of a frustration, frankly, that the conclusions were drawn as they are. There's approximately 1,500-some board members on these 300 public charter schools across the state. These are public officials. They swear an oath of office just like any other public official. I've heard from a lot of them, and they're all pretty insulted by that series, that people think they're not getting information, reviewing it, and holding people accountable.
What do you think, Superintendent? I'm asking you to speculate here, but Superintendent Flanagan holds some cards here. I mean, what do you think? Did the series make an impact on him?
I wouldn't want to speculate what that impact is. I think in some ways he's probably feeling like the rest of us, unfortunate, because he was already engaged in the conversation. He was meeting with authorizers in February regarding these discussions, what's my authority, which had come about because of ongoing discussions with the department from a year ago. Charter schools are becoming a bigger and more important part of the educational landscape, and he recognizes that. So he started to do what a good superintendent would do, which is get input. Before I face this circumstance, I want to know, how would I go about this? Because he'll take his responsibilities seriously. So I think in some ways it's a limelight that doesn't help a practical conversation.
The management companies that oversee a lot of the charter schools, though, they have this kind of neither fish nor fowl kinds of they're privately held companies. They're for-profit companies. Is there a challenge in getting those for-profit companies to be as transparent as they should be, or would you assert that they're being as transparent already as they need to be?
There's a public regulation that describes what should be made public, and yes, those companies are monitoring that. A good part of the discussion on Wednesday was exactly how do you go about that. What's apparent when you're digging into the details is, well, that report is available, but it's over here on this website, and people are looking over there on another website, or it's provided to the board, but maybe not to the department in the same way. So looking at consistency and making sure it's accessible. And yeah, these are public-private partnership issues. Anybody that provides, private entity that provides a public service, how is that information made public and how easily accessible is it? And I think another important question, Mark, is what does it have to do with academic outcomes? We have to recognize there are adults in these discussions who have an agenda, and it may not be about student outcomes.
Part of your response to this chapter has been to assert that traditional public schools really ought to be held to many of the same standards, perhaps, that Michigan charter schools. You launched a website, I Support the Pledge. That's really what that was all about. Where does your effort, this online effort with I Support the Pledge, where does that stand?
Well, we'll continue to promote those ideas. We do need how do you evaluate a charter school authorizer? Academic outcomes would be one. We've got a really confusing system in Michigan about doing that for any of our public schools. We need a clearly, easily understandable A through F letter grading system. We grade our kids, we should grade our schools, not just charter schools, but all schools. And then let's focus on literacy. And then below that, yeah, absolutely. Are the dollars being spent? Is there enough information available that people can make good decisions about whether the business practices are being well done and that it's actually driving student outcomes? Should be held accountable to everybody.
I've got to ask you to gaze in your crystal ball. What lay ahead in your view? Where is the public discussion regarding charter schools in Michigan? Where is that going, do you think? What do you expect to see happen?
Charter schools will continue to be an important part of the public education landscape. 9% of the kids are in charter public schools in Michigan. And you'll continue to see authorizers doing their jobs, closing schools, because we see that regularly, or intervening and making sure they're really excelling. You'll see the department continue to monitor and oversee their efforts. You'll see new and exciting kinds of public and private partnerships that charter schools are able to do. And then, yeah, there needs to be a discussion about all public education. It's important to focus on what we're doing, but let's talk about the other 90% of the schools in the state and how those dollars are being spent.
Dan Quisenberry heads the Michigan Association of Public School Academies. Thank you very much, Dan. We'll have you back.
Thank you, Mark. And all again, right. Thanks for the music.
Okay.